Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome to Vaccine Free America. I don't know if you were listening last week, but Ingrid and I did a 3-hour show, Ingrid Castle of Immunize Wisely. She and I carried on for 3 hours, and I have to tell you, we hit so many different issues that this is the most worthy 3 hours possibly in the history of radio. So I want you to go back and listen to it. However, what I would like to tell you about today is that I have a remarkable guest on who meets so many different criteria in terms of things I am very interested to discuss. First of all, she used to be in the service, and she used to administer vaccines in the service. And she also was vaccinated and revaccinated in the service. She is also a nurse. She is a doula, and she has, most unfortunately, the ultimate tragedy, her grandchild has passed from vaccination. So I would like to introduce Gayla Fisher, a very good friend of mine, and a woman who I feel always I can reach out to when I learn of yet another new mother who's lost a child to vaccination and the heartbreak. More often than not, I have pulled Gayla Fisher in to be a source of comfort and advice to her. So welcome, my dear friend, Gayla Fisher.
Hi, Sally. Thank you so much. That was nice. It's nice to be with you tonight.
Well, thank you, and thanks to our producer, Ken, for pulling it together. I do appreciate that. And yes, okay, well, let us embark on an issue that I didn't even give you in the list of issues I wanted to discuss, but it's something that is really pertinent. In terms, you are a doula, you deliver babies, and I had heard from one of the women I interviewed that in her state, I don't know if this is across the United States or just in her state, the insurance will not pay for a child to be delivered after 40 weeks. So a lot of these children all children are being born premature, if that's true, because it's 41 weeks in a day, right? The
yes.
Gestation period, is that what it's called? The gestation period? Am I
yes.
correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that means everybody, at least in her state, if their insurance is going to pay for the delivery, is being born premature. So you had said that in our last interview that basically create, what do you call that when you get someone to deliver before time? What is that called?
The induction, and you're fighting against nature. You're
right.
You're trying
a birth. So you said that was dangerous. I would like you to explain that, because I know what's dangerous for one reason. The child does not get enough minerals. You're supposed mm-hmm. to get all your minerals infused into you in the last third trimester. So they're being denied a week and a day's worth of that. But what else in terms of reducing labor would be a peril?
Okay. Well, let's start out first with the way that they decided that 40 weeks was the proper amount of time for a woman to be pregnant. They studied 20 women. They took the length of pregnancies from 20 women, and they averaged that and said, okay, 40 weeks is it. 20 women. And so they based that number that they came up with as the number that a baby has to be born by. This is insurance and OBs, and everybody's got this big thing on 40 weeks. Actually, the average gestational period for a first-time mother is 41 weeks in a day. And some pregnancies do go over. I actually had a 43-week pregnancy. And back then, nobody was concerned about it. It was like, geez, you know, you're an elephant. You're carrying this baby for 10 months. Now it's a really big thing. And the problem, from the studies that I've read, there's a lot of problems. First of all, induction is causing the mother's body to do something that nature did not intend to happen. Our bodies know when it's time to give birth. Science has never been able to pin down exactly what it is that triggers birth. But one study that I read says that the lungs of the baby puts off a hormone that tells the mother's body, hey, I'm ready, and causes labor to happen. And that's just one hypothesis, but it made a lot of sense to me. So now what we're going to do is we're going to put these chemical hormones into a mother's body and try to fool the body so that it will start laboring. The chemical that they use, the artificial hormone, is Pitocin. It's an artificial form of oxytocin. I actually had a mother that said she'd rather have a C-section than to be induced again, because studies show that babies who have been induced, it damages the oxytocin receptors in their brain and can actually cause a form of autism as well. And that's not even getting started with, you know, babies being put into stress during the labor process, because, you know, some doctors and nurses will turn the Pitocin up way high and, you know, be in an attempt to hurry the labor along or to go to a C-section so that they can get the mom over and done with and go on to the next thing. And because of our high number of C-sections, which finally main media is starting to recognize, we have one of the highest death rates of mothers in the United States over all the other countries in the world. We're number one in our moms dying because we are also number one now in the amount of C-sections that are done. And it's not because American women's bodies are broken. It's because American doctors are making these choices to interfere in the birth process.
Well, thank you. That was a really comprehensive answer. And it is really startling how high the death rate in our country of mothers during birth. It really is. And this is what you believe it to be the cause.
Yes.
Huh. Nobody has even discussed this. Nobody has even mentioned that. I mean, they've discussed the high rate of mortality among birthing mothers, but they have not discussed why.
Yeah, it's surgical. It's as a result of all the surgical interventions. You know, you cut a baby out of a mother's stomach. That's not a natural thing. And, you know, we then have problems with amniotic fluid embolisms and blood clots and, you know, infection. There's just a lot of things, hemorrhage. All of those are side effects of surgery. And so that's why our moms are dying at such alarming rates, is as a side effect of the surgical birth. Don't get me wrong. There are times when a mother and the baby's lives can be saved by a surgical birth. But that, we believe, is only 5% of births that need that type of intervention. This other stuff, I believe, has come from insurance companies mainly, because of the malpractice insurance. You know, nobody ever sued a doctor for doing a C-section, but many doctors have been sued for not doing a C-section.
Wow. It changes everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to get back now to the fact that you were in the service in the National Guard, and I am, you know, actively recruiting veterans against vaccination. And I think there are truckers against trafficking. There mm-hmm. are truckers against incest. And all I can say is veterans understand what it's like to be vaccinated. Second only to infants, we are vaccinating servicemen.
Yes. So
your particular circumstance is actually common. I have interviewed three different servicemen who were, fully vaccinated, lost the records, and they fully vaccinated them again.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I started out in the U.S. Army, and I received all of my service vaccines at that time. You know, we're talking like for Black Plague and Yellow Fever and Typhoid and, you know, just all these obscure diseases that we might come in contact with if we happen to be deployed to an area that has those things. So they just vaccinate everybody. Well, then after I got out of the regular Army, a couple of years later, I went back in to the Missouri National Guard. And at that point, as they went over my transfer, my records, my vaccine records were missing. So I had all of those vaccines, I think in 2 months. I had everything done over again in 2 visits. So I went to a guard meeting. They did half of them. The next month, I went to my next guard meeting. They did the rest of them. And, you know, I just remember waking up the next morning and couldn't move my arms. You know, I was just so sore from all of those vaccines.
Wow. As I said, this were the first time I heard it. I heard it about from a Vietnam veteran who was given 15 shots before he was deployed. When he got there, they said his records were gone. Another 15 shots. And mm-hmm. I don't know what arm of the service, but that happened to him as well. Now, I have also heard from a woman who is a Marine that she received 12 shots at once, 6 in each arm, and that of the lineup of women who were being vaccinated, 1/3 of them fell to the ground or taken mm-hmm. out, on stretchers, and only a minuscule percentage returned. I was, you know, what? Did you ever see such a thing?
I did see, you know, I did see women that passed out getting the shots. And, you know, I mean, they've got several companies in there, several big groups of women going through there in line. So everything you do is like just mass. It's done in mass. And so, of course, you see some women, you know, that fall out and you think that they're just passing out because of the shot itself, because of the injection, which is actually done with an air gun, not a needle. And so you think, oh, they just passed out because they got this injection. And then you're just herded on through. So you don't really see, or at least I didn't see, what happened to these women afterwards. And they could have been in any number of different companies that were just, you know, starting basic training.
Well, I went out of my way to ask the question because I wanted to know, of the third that fell to the ground, how many came back? And she said a minuscule percentage. The thing is here, if you are, you get a dishonorable discharge, I understand, from her, if you are dismissed because of your reaction to the vaccine, which would mean that you really are not good to go to be employed.
I was in the military a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, about 30 years. It's been about 30 years. And at that time, it wasn't a dishonorable discharge. It was a medical. A lot of people got medical discharges or not dishonorable, but unacceptable or something like it was a weird kind of dismissal. If it happened during the first so many weeks of basic training. Now, if they were injured from something, if they twisted an ankle or something, then they were medically discharged and they got free medical care, from what I understand, for the rest of their life.
Okay, well, I'm only reporting what I've heard. Also, right. There are vaccine injuries like the Gulf War veterans that are not acknowledged, and they are quite severe. I know, yes. When I go bed to bed in VAs in New Jersey and in the Bronx and, well, in Manhattan, we did them in a large room. But one of those places, either the Bronx or New Jersey, said I could visit. I would go bed to bed. I do 60 shows a day, and I counted that as one show. But anyway, there was one floor we couldn't go on, and it was the Gulf War veterans, because I was told that their skin is raw, and even touching the sheet was painful.
There is also a malaria vaccine, and I think it was also during the Gulf War, and I think they called it Gulf War syndrome, that these guys would come back, and there for a while, I don't know if you remember, but we had kind of a time of, like, the veterans were killing their wives, and, you know, they would just get so violent, and they would kill their spouse, and a lot of times kill their self. And at that time, that was before everything was being hushed up about, you know, the side effects of vaccines and stuff. But they were reporting that they believed that it was related to the malaria vaccine. Now, my son got that. It was during Desert Storm. My son got that vaccine when he went overseas. And he came home the same way. He's never been the same. And he's actually 100% service-connected disabled at this time. And he's a young man. He, you know, he lost his... He had a very good business as an electrician, doing commercial work. He, you know, has a family of 5 children and a beautiful wife. And his life just changed so much when he came back from over there after receiving the vaccine.
But I just received today, it's from families who are wanting Congress to address the effect that the effect of war when they return on the families. Mm-hmm. They're involuntary recruits, and the fact that they are affected by the returning soldiers, and they want their day. I'm going to forward that to you. However, the anthrax vaccine, of course, was given during that time as well. And the offspring are affected, and they didn't sign up for that. They're affected physically, you know?
Yes.
They are having the same joint problems that the servicemen are having, and other problems. And one fellow I interviewed who had, you know, I guess Gulf War syndrome, but from the anthrax vaccine, he was saying that his friend who also was suffering, by then his grandchildren were still. So you will have to wonder how many generations does this affect?
Yes. Yes. And you know, I always find it ironic, Sally, is that people have a hard time believing that you can give a vaccine to one person and it can affect generations ahead. Yet we've pulled many medications that the same pharmaceutical companies have manufactured that have been proven to affect generations in the future. And people accept that. They accept that these pills were bad, and so they got pulled. They do not accept when you tell them the truth that this is happening with vaccines as well.
Now, you have vaccinated many people yourself as part of your job, and prior to your understanding of what is in vaccines.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy again, and my guest is Gayla Fisher, and we were talking about vaccinations in the service, and she used to be a vaccinator for the National Guard, and we already discussed the vaccine she received and other people who I have interviewed and their experiences. However, Gayla, I know that you have vaccinated many people in the Guard. What were you told? Why, you know, you participated because you didn't know what?
Well, for one thing, it was my job. I was assigned that job. And, you know, when you go through nursing school or even when you go through medical school, what you're told is this: your education on vaccination is they're good for you. Everybody needs them. And so you believe that. You know, who doesn't want to believe that you could give somebody one injection and protect them for the rest of their life from getting sick? I mean, that's an awesome concept. And that's what we've been told for years and years and years.
Well, I hear some talking in the background. I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time hearing with the headset.
Right. Well, it might can be coming from the station, if not from Gayla or myself. But regardless, Okay. Well, okay. It's interesting. One never knows. Okay. So let us continue. Now there are monuments on the mall to servicemen. My favorite monument is the Vietnam War Memorial. I feel it is one of the most effective memorials I have ever encountered. A friend of mine who had twin boys who were force vaccinated with the polio vaccine passed away after the vaccination. And he erected a monument in Verona to his twin boys. And it's the only one that I know of its kind. And it's not to say that children aren't buried and they state on the monument that it is as a result of vaccination, which I think is very responsible, but very few people will see that. A public monument, many people would see. And as a result, I have written to Congress to ask for a vaccine victims memorial. And I would like it to be actually close to the Vietnam War Memorial, if at all possible, or at least to the Gulf War Memorial, if there is one there. I don't know if there is. However, what do you think of this idea? Do you think that Congress should be erecting a memorial, not just veterans, obviously, they are included in it, but not just to veterans, to all vaccine victims?
Oh, I think that it would be wonderful. I mean, this is a government-sanctioned program that's killing all these people. I'm just sitting here going, you know what? It would have to be bigger than the Vietnam Memorial to get everybody's name on there. It would have to be huge.
Well, Dr. Carly and I have talked about it would probably wrap Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, if you were to engrave all the names of the vaccine injured. In terms of veterans and my hoping to engage them, if they could go as a doctor I know does with a parent, a mother who's going to have a baby, be on call and protect that mother from the baby from the hepatitis B shot, that would be such a gift. If veterans would do that, because often the parent does not realize, even though they have gone out of their way to say, I do not want the hepatitis B shot for my child, and I do, there's noise in the background, like shutting doors or drawers or something, and I'm sure that nobody's trying to be noisy, so I'm wondering where that's coming from.
I have family in the house. Let me try and...
I think if you're not hearing it yourself, are you hearing it yourself, people shuffling around and opening things and closing things?
Maybe. I think I probably just ignore it. I'm going to go back into another room. I think I had to do this once before between the dogs and the kids. So I've got lots of kids and grandkids.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Vaccine Victims Memorial, I made a bill of it, and I sent it to all of Congress back in 2009 or 10, because not only does the government sanction this, they also have prevented the ability of people to sue when their child is injured or dies from vaccination, the manufacturers and the healthcare workers. So there's no recourse for the family with the injured or dead child.
Go ahead. I was just, you know what, I was talking about this same thing to a friend of mine last night. And I, you know, this is like, you know, I put it in terms of a vehicle. Say the government manufactures a vehicle and they say that you have to drive this vehicle. I mean, everybody's either driven or ridden in a motor vehicle in the United States.
Okay, right. Neil Fisher on Vaccine Free America.
So bright, there's no left here in the dark.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on Amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and you are listening to Vaccine Free America on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. So my guest is Gayla Fisher, and we were just discussing a vaccine victims memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C., as a fitting tribute to the fallen children and others as a result of vaccination. Please continue, Gayla. You were speaking about the lack of liability for vaccines and the harm they cause.
Right. I think, you know, sometimes people have a hard time really identifying with, you know, vaccine injuries and the government, you know, making us take this, we can't sue it, because, you know, they're like, well, I've never died. Or I've never been in, you know, I've never been injured by it. A lot of times they have, but they don't realize that they've been injured by the vaccine. But I like to put it in terms of an automobile. Everybody rides in one, drives one in the United States. We've all been in a vehicle at one point or another. But say that the government now says we're manufacturing the automobiles, and everybody in the United States will drive and ride in our automobiles. Now, it's known that these automobiles crash often because there's problems with it and people die from it. And so they're like, we don't want to do this automobile thing anymore. We want to get our own automobiles. And the government says, no, you have to ride in our automobiles. And not only that, but you can't sue us for making you ride in our automobiles. You can't sue us when you're injured or when you're killed. And it's the same thing with these vaccines. You know, we are being forced by the government now as wanting to mandate that every man, woman, and child is vaccinated and revaccinated. And yet they are still holding the pharmaceutical companies harmless. You know, the money people talk about, oh, the vaccine injury fund, we are paying into the vaccine injury fund. Every time someone gets the vaccine, a dollar from the cost of that vaccine goes into the vaccine injury fund. So even though we can try to get a little, and there's a cap on that, there's a $250,000 cap on what you can receive from the vaccine injury courts. And every bit of that is paid by the American citizens who were forced to use the product in the first place. And we see no other company in the United States that has that much freedom that they can do whatever they want. They don't have to do safety studies. They don't have to come under certain guidelines. They just manufacture this product. They put it out there, and then we can't do anything when it's faulty.
Right. That basically covers all the bases. It is an unbelievable I think somebody had a poster when we were up in New York State in Albany trying to retain our exemptions, and there's going to be a report on that and what's going on in regard to that on Angry's show, which is up next. But it's the only product, as you say, that enjoys a lack of liability and could not be more dangerous. The Supreme Court said it is unavoidably unsafe. Vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And instead of outlawing them, they decided to continue to allow them to be injected without liability. It just doesn't make sense. Any first grader would know that that is not the conclusion one should draw.
No, and we have gotten, you know, we are raised to trust our country. We're the best country in the world, which I do believe that our country is a wonderful country. But we've always been taught, you know, that the government, our government, is going to keep us safe. And so, I'm sorry, someone walked into the room. They tell us that our government's going to be safe. So people say, you know, hey, our government wouldn't tell us to take these things if they were unsafe. And so I think that's one of the biggest problems, is that people, and it's funny because it's the same people who don't like our country and don't like our views in politics, but they're the ones saying, oh yeah, they're giving us a safe vaccine, so let's make everybody take them. I mean, it's just, I find so many things that are ironic in this whole situation.
Well, the fact that they cascade us with your trusted family physician.
Yes.
Trusted, they keep throwing the word trusted in there, don't they?
Yes.
Dr. Guy Langto says that 80%, oh yes, if you ask someone if they trust politicians, they will, 80% will say no. And if you ask someone if they trust their pediatrician, 8% will say no. But they don't realize that it's the politicians who are making the rules that the pediatricians are following, and perhaps they should adjust their thinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I know and there's a lot of people that are not trusting their doctors and nurses, and they think that all the doctors and nurses are out to get them. So it kind of goes both ways. The truth is that the doctors and the nurses are in the middle of this. They're doing what they've been taught is the best thing to do to keep their patients safe. You know, I think 95% of people in the medical profession went into that profession wanting to help people, not hurt them. So they're not, you know, the doctors and nurses are not bad people. They just have been taught this is the right thing to do.
My mother used to say, what happened to the bedside manner? I remember doctors used to have a bedside manner. There are cold fishes, is what she would say. Well, Dr. Daniels, who has another show on this network, Republic Broadcasting Network, Dr. Jennifer Daniels was interviewed by Dr. Rebecca Carley, and she said, as both a doctor and an MBA from Wharton, she has two different perspectives on this. And her experience, one of her experiences, was accepting people into medical school for a college of medicine. And she said, there are two criteria that will get you accepted. First of all, everybody who studies and takes the MCAT, they are probably really good students, or they wouldn't even compete with the really good students who are taking it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there are questions. So it's either if your family, if you have a C average and your family is in the medical industry, you're immediately accepted. If your father's a doctor, you're in. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the other criteria is if you answer unethically on questions 1472 and 164, which are the three questions put in there to measure your ethics, if you answer unethically, you're accepted. So it's not the score. It's not how you score. Everyone scores high. Everyone's at the top of their class. And all I can say is verify what I just reported with Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who was on the board of people who accepted medical students.
Wow.
And that explains why my mother said everyone's a cold fish. Mm-hmm. What happened to the bedside manner?
You're right. And you know, I think a lot of it is I think there's just so many things going on in our medical system anymore. And, you know, part of it, as you know, as a former nurse, and I was just talking to another retired nurse about this today, when we became nurses, we did primary care nursing. We gave bed baths massages. We arranged their flowers. Plus, we did all of our nursing duties for three people. You know, we only had three patients all day to take care of. Now, the last I was in a post-acute care unit, I had 13 patients. Now, these are all patients that with feeding tubes and just, you know, a variety of their high-risk patients. And I had 13 of those. I work in long-term care. I had 57 patients to take care of. And the insurance companies and the people that control the money have decided that nurses are an expendable expense. We can do much more than what we had always done before. And they also make the doctors, because most doctors now are owned by corporations, and they have to see a patient like every 15 minutes. They have to have a patient in and out in 15 minutes in order to meet their stipend, because the country doctor with a bedside manner is gone, like your mom said. And now we have these people that are just trying to reach a quota, getting them in and out. And the patients are suffering for it. The doctors don't have time to research things anymore. They get into their niche, and it's a factory.
Well, Sam Muggsy, I was listening to recently, and she's a naturopath. She was saying that Donald Trump has recently signed an executive order which will allow you to choose your physician, and you can look at his history. How did his patients fare? And you can access all of this through the insurance companies. So this is fascinating. It's also right to try. So if they leave the door open to more than just Western medicine, as we have come to know allopathic medicine to be, to open the door to healing, not just managing your sickness, but actual healing. And this is very exciting. And I will put a link to Donald Trump's announcement and his executive order. I'll put it, gee whiz, I guess on Twitter. I'll go on Twitter and put it there.
Okay.
So, Gayla?
Yes?
Okay. Let us go on to the next issue. Your grandson, Cash, and the tragedy that has affected the entire family, generations above and below. Not below, but you know what I'm saying. The entire family falls when one child dies, or when one child becomes autistic, for that matter. It affects everybody, and the grief probably knows no bounds. So please explain how this little 2-month, 19-day-old, darling little boy died.
We actually just recognized the 7th anniversary of his death last week. He died on July the 5th. I was out of town with my other children and grandchildren to celebrate the holiday, and I got a phone call at 5:30 in the morning saying that my grandson had died. So I made a 4.5-hour trip straight back up to the city to be with my daughter. Was horrible. She had played with him the night before. He was happy. He was laughing and giggling and cooing. And they fell asleep. And she woke up at 5:30 in the morning, realizing that he hadn't woken to eat. And so she got up to feed him and found that he had passed. He had his vaccines on his 2-month birthday. So this was 19 days later, and it was actually right at the peak of time that we see this type of reaction. The cytokine storm is what they called it. Happens at about 2 to 3 weeks. A lot of babies die immediately. They have an immediate allergic reaction, but the biggest percentage of kids are dying at about 2 to 3 weeks. And even up to 4 weeks, they can still die as their body reacts to the poisons that have been injected into it. It was a horrible thing. You know, here are these two young parents that have woken up and found their baby's dead, and they're trying to get help, and they're trying to get somebody to come, and then they're treated as if they've done something wrong. Their home is turned into a crime scene. The parents are separated. They aren't allowed to touch their baby. They come in and they gather up the sheets, the bottles, the formula, clothes, anything that's touched or been around the baby. That becomes evidence at a crime scene. And the parents are taken to the hospital with the baby because, of course, they're still going to try to resuscitate the baby. And so they take the baby there and they keep the parents separated for quite a long time. And here they are. I mean, it's horrific. Their baby's dead. They don't know what's going on. They don't have each other for comfort. They're just locked away in these rooms until someone decides that, well, it might not be child abuse. And they finally let him come in to see their child, but they weren't allowed to touch him or kiss him goodbye, or any of those things. As we went through the process, first the medical examiner locally made a determination that it was the environment, that perhaps he had suffocated, but the baby was laying face up and there was nothing in the environment that he would have suffocated on. But medical examiners, since the Back to Sleep program, are now taught to not call it SIDS. We still have the same number of deaths. We just have less SIDS because the medical examiners are now blaming it on environment rather than SIDS. So we had to pay for a second autopsy, and they did determine that the baby showed an allergic reaction, a congestion in his brain, his lungs, his kidney, his liver. All of them, all of his internal organs were congested, which is from the cytokine storm. And it's an allergic reaction. It's a body's reaction to an allergen that's been put in there. We went through the first two phases in the vaccine injury court to try to get compensation. And, you know, it wasn't, my daughter had intended any money that she got for it to go to putting Cash's Law into effect. So it wasn't that they were trying to benefit from this. It was they wanted this recognized. They wanted the death certificate changed. And so we got up to the final part that we needed to go through in order to actually sue the vaccine injury or to be compensated. And just, you know, talking about ironic stuff. And just at that very last minute, when the doctors went to get more samples from the medical examiner's office, they had all been destroyed. All of the samples were gone.
Okay, hold that thought right now, and we'll be right back with Gayla Fisher.
There's no left here in the dark.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, everybody. We're back. My name is Sally L. Cordy. You're listening to Vaccine Free America, and our guest is Gayla Fisher. And she was saying that her grandson had passed away post-vaccination, and that the – please restate that.
When we went through two phases, there's a lot of things you have to prove in order to actually be reimbursed for a vaccine injury or vaccine death. And we had gone through the first two stages of proving that Cash actually did die from as a result of the vaccines. We got to the third stage, and we needed those samples that were being held in my city at the medical examiner's office. It was the last thing we needed to proceed with the actual, you know, being the samples were gone. They were conveniently discarded after all that time and after all that effort and all of the examination of records and everything. Suddenly the samples that we needed had been discarded.
Yeah, that is unforgivable. Truly it is.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I want the listeners to know that if your child is vaccine injured, you have a 3-year window to apply with very strict, it has to happen between this day and that day, the reaction, et cetera. They're very strict guidelines, very hard to fulfill those guidelines, and unreasonable guidelines.
Yes.
But if your child dies, you only have 2 years to make a claim. And a lot of people don't even put it together in 2 years. And certainly the doctors are not admitting it, because they would also have to admit that they gave the lethal injection. I wanted to bring something to your attention. And that is that a pediatrician who was speaking to a journalist from VaxTruth said that 3 infants a year have passed post-vaccination, and that she's been practicing for 10 years, and that would be 30 infants in her care.
Yes. Yeah, it's a horrible thing. It's, you know, people, the conspiracy theorists, you know, you always call people with different ideals a conspiracy theorist, but if you find that there's a conspiracy, that kind of changes things a little bit, you know. But it just feels, you hear people talk about population control. And, you know, it feels like that with so many babies dying. And now we've got this great push to force people to take the vaccines. Our voices are being heard. Our voices, those of us who fight against this, those of us who want more information, those of us who want safety for our children, our voices are being heard. That's why this is so controversial. You know, 5 years ago, nobody even talked about whether you vaccinated or not vaccinated. Now we've got the one mothers who tell the other mothers, if you want to come to the baby's birthday, you have to bring your shot records. All of this is because, as a result of those of us who've opened our eyes and seen what's going on, our voices are being heard and changes are being made. I think we see a big push to get everybody vaccinated before people say no.
Thank you, Gail Fisher. This is Sally. For Angry Castles, immunize wisely. Thank you. Thanks, Kim.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan @hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.